out in the dark with the radio spark. Meet me where the most light falls. Listening to Where the Most Light Falls with DJ Tamara on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more. Everybody, welcome to the show. I'm sharing this time several poems from a collection related to the national parks of the United States. And the collection is housed at poets.org if you're interested in seeing them written out and listening to them again separately from my show. We'll also be listening to music from a band called the National Parks. I may also slip in a reading of my own or from something that I've been enjoying. Hope you enjoy the show. We are listening to Requiem for a Frozen Heart by Alan Constantine. This is from an album called Melancholy Piano. Going to read from The Hour of Land, A Personal Topography of America's National Parks by Terry Tempest Williams. Any wind will tell you it is the long view that counts. Big Bend National Park is the long view. Stark, lonely, and soul-saving. I have waited all my life to see this kind of vista. I come to Big Bend as a naturalist only, desperate to immerse myself in natural history, not the history of humans. Gettysburg left me weary from war, Effigy mounds left me hungry with questions, and so for now I want nothing more to focus on than birds. Though I have chosen to come during winter, when most of the 450 species of birds recorded here have not yet migrated back to the basin, the sight of one black-crested titmouse dangling upside down in the pines steadies my heart. El Despoblado is what the Spanish called this country, the uninhabited land. It remains one of the least visited national parks in America.
There's an hourglass sitting on my table, I'm watching as everything's changing, my mind goes to a different time. Old love, I remember falling so madly, there must have been magic in the valley and a rhythm in the night. 'Cause I could almost see it. Did you fade right? If it takes time to get to you, I'll get to you. Ooh, ooh. If it takes time to get to you, I'll get to you. Shadows growing in my mind like a sundial in the nighttime. But if I close my eyes, I think I still see it. The sunlight coming through. If it takes time to get to you, I'll get to you. If it takes time to get to you, I'll get to you. If it takes time to get to you, I'll get to you. If it takes time to get to you, I'll get to you. Thank you. my shoes could walk to you, I would be on my way. I would swim the Baltic Sea and climb the mountain range. Oh, oh, Helsinki, I was meant for you, my dear. Oh, Helsinki, when you're gone, I know I will wish you near. When you're gone to the Arctic Circle, there's a fire that'll keep you warm. And I'll be here pushing pen to the paper, counting days until you come home. Helsinki, I was meant for you, my dear. Oh, Helsinki, when you're gone, I know I will wish you near.
This is Ada Limon reading Notes on the Below. Notes on the Below from Mammoth Cave National Park. Humongous cavern. Tell me, wet limestone, sandstone caprock, batwing, sightless translucent cave shrimp, this endless plummet into more of the unknown. How one keeps secrets for so long. All my life, I've lived above the ground, car wheels over paved roads, roots breaking through concrete, and still I've not understood the real of this life's purpose. Not so much living, but a hovering without sense. What's it like to be always night? No moon, but a few lit up circles at your many openings. Endless dark. Still, time must enter you. Like a train, like a green river. Tell me what it is to be the thing rooted in shadow, to be the thing not touched by light. No, that's not it. To not even need the light. I envy that. Desire is a tricky thing. The boiling of the bodies wants more praise, more hands holding the knives away. I've been the one who has craved and craved until I could not see beyond my own greed. There's a whole nation of us. To forgive myself, I point to the earth as witness. To you, your frozen Niagara, your fat man's misery, you with your 400 miles of interlocking caves that lead only to more of you. Tell me what it is to be quiet and yet still breathing. Ruler of the underlying, let me speak to both the dead and the living as you do. Speak to the ruined earth and the stalactites, the eastern small-footed bat, to honor this, the length of days. To speak to the core that creates and swallows, to speak not always to what's shouting, but to what's underneath, asking for nothing. I am at the mouth of the cave. I am willing to crawl.
Was something in the air the night that I left town. The stars were bright and the world was spinning round. There was something in the distance that kept leading me on to a brand new world, to a great. As the river flows and the city glows, I'll be following the open road. Cause wherever I go, I know I'm going home. Wherever I go, I know I'm going home. And ooh, I will never be alone. Cause wherever I go, I'm home. And the world was seeming smaller, and the wind was at my back. But no matter where I went, I noticed that when everything is different, some things never change. It's the light in the eyes and the love that stays the same. And as the river flows and the city glows, I'll be following the open road. Cause wherever I go, I know I'm going home. Wherever I go, I know I'm going home.
Glacier National Park and the Elegy, for Mike, July 2016. After Dale's sudden cancer, his body wasting swiftly to death, I didn't believe in love or beauty or my ability to write poems, and my grieving turned into a sequence of writing little hostile elegies in solitary sittings. Elegies ceased being an elegant poetic form. I guess I was trying to understand the shape of a new sorrow in its deep recognizance, how easily it's foraged for my marginalized hungers that felt legitimately nullified. With it, figurative language estranged itself from crafting mutable metaphors of the natural world standing in its place with adjectival phrases. Landscape, though permissible, seemed to only swell around, retaining rivers beneath my feet with a grave distance. Bodies ensued to ashes now, and I didn't utter dust to dust. Only after losing many months in time, I did slowly begin to notice a greener, faint tint to the sunlight. This felt like a small divinity. Finding you was this too, after such importunate feelings of abandonment. I said, this is a remarkable lightness I feel. I couldn't imagine it before I felt it. You told me to look at the moon. I did. That's what you did after Marie died. You believed all moons in the sky to be elegiac in a non-figurative sense, real to the eye. Therefore, you represented its steadfast truth. I proposed then a drive to Glacier National Park, thinking of a fine, faultless finery, the firs, pines, and stillness. We drove up, higher than I expected, skyward up the steepest corners and edges, and I looked out at spring sustenance, an earthwork of forest trees scored in majestic columns, bedded and wooded, coated with needles, fully medicinal, their similes shedding, of giving over the live forested body to its eminence, of the mountain's height, its splendor drop, because of its scare quality. I felt hesitant to look out. But for descriptors, the rounded grass tufts near the car grates, then a hell drop, a belt of green, stones and gravel and gray peeking through. This driving with you is a climb of faith, I think, and I feel it along with a helpless irritation of lust in my throat and gut and a pair of callous and ashen calves and feet I seem to have earned. You helped me through a dry summer, fall, winter, and now summer. 10 months after he died, he and I, all these years, had never gone to Glacier, only near it to Flathead or Whitefish, to fireplace lodges tucked away. I brought you to the Weeping Walls, where we turned around, because you drove still further until I threatened fear of heights. I don't know how to celebrate 100 years this high up, but you do. This winding, high-up national park with me, your glasses cocked on your head, a strange visor of blackish hair, camera chest-centered, erect lens outward, but modest, two circles looking above my direction at the field of bare grass with its white stalks and awkward loomed light. I was unable to get out of the car at Heaven's Peak because the sublime was frightening, but I crawled around the side and peered over, and I knew I would never use the word heaven to describe anything I saw of death, but I saw beauty in a scrap of its light. I was not afraid of it taking me with it, the way I had seen him disappear into illness, its extinguishing erasure. I hold you in Glacier, where I see you clearly. I will plow the hard-won truth of pitching death and flinging its burden into spaces. No treason I feel now, because the eros of the natural world lingers in sentience, flooding with its central questions of what life and death collectively crushes. I held on to the silver bumper of your car, gripping your hand, because it was your hand, and you too were silvery behind frank light and squinting to see into a camera's moon, a lasting present tense, we just gave ourselves over to, lifted to case its blue course, a formal sky of imperturbable clouds, of unambiguous secularity. We take a simple walk around the car now.
This is Natalie Handel, reading my poem, Accepting Heaven, at Great Basin. When you doubt the world, look at the undivided darkness. Look at Wheeler Peak, cliffs like suspended prayers. Contemplate the cerulean, the gleaming limestone, the frozen shades, the wildflowers. Look at the bristlecone pine, a labyrinth to winding wanderers. Listen to the caves sing silently. Remember the smell of sagebrush after a thunderstorm. That Lexington Arc is a bridge of questions in the solitude of dreams. That here distances disturb desire to deliver a collision of breaths. The desert echoes in this dark night sky. Stars reveal the way a heart can light a world.
I was young when I heard. I opened the book and read the words. Stories of a star up in the sky, a far off place, a baby child born to be the light. And the wise men came, and the angels sang hallelujah. 'Cause far away is born a little child, far away, the Savior of mankind, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, born in a manger, far away. Seems a little closer today. And when I'm old, I'm hoping to sit by the tree in my living room. Tell stories of a star up in the sky, a far off place, a baby child, and like the wise men, I will ask, what can I bring when the angels sing hallelujah? 'Cause far away is born a little child, far away, Savior of mankind, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, born in a manger, far away. Seems a little closer today. And the angels sing hallelujah. And the angels sing hallelujah. And the angels sing hallelujah. 'Cause far away is born a little child, far away, the Savior of mankind, the Prince of Peace, King of Kings, born in a manger, far away, can be a little closer, far away, come a little closer, far away, seems a little closer today.
This is Arthur Z, and I'm reading my poem, White Sands. Walking along a ridge of white sand, it's cooler below the surface. We stop and gazing at an expanse of dunes to the west, watch a yellow yoke of sun drop to the mountains. An hour earlier, we rolled down a dune. White sand flecked your eyelids and hair. A claret cup cactus blooms, and soap tree yuccas move as a dune moves. So many years later, on a coast, waves rolling to shore, wave after wave, I see how our lives have unfolded, a sheen of wave after whitening wave. And we are stepping barefoot, rolling down a dune, white flecks on our lips, on our eyelids. We are lying in a warm dune as a full moon lifts against an ocean of sky.
This is Meg Day, reading The Permanent Way. We weren't supposed to, so we did what any band of boys would do, and we did it the way they did in books. None of us would admit we stole from our brothers and kept hidden under bed skirts in each of our rooms, dropped our bicycles without flipping their kickstands, and scaled the fence in silence. At the top, somebody's overalls snagged, then my Levi's, and for a few deep breaths, we all sat still, grouse in a line, considering the dark yard before us, how it gestured toward our defiance of gravity, of curfews, of what we knew of goodness, and how we hoped we could be shaped otherwise, and dared us to jump. And then we were among them, stalking their muscled silhouettes as our own herd, becoming ourselves a train of unseen movements made singular, never strangers to the permanent way of traveling through the dark of another shadow, indiscernible to the dirt. Our drove of braids and late summer lice buzz cuts pivoted in unison when an engine sighed, throwing the moon into the whites of our eyes and carrying it, still steaming, across the yard to a boiler man, her hair tied up in a blue bandana. Somewhere, our mothers were sleeping prayers for daughters who did not want women to go to the moon, who did not ask for train sets or mitts. But here, with the moon at our feet and the whistle smearing the cicada's electric scream and the headlamp made of Schwinn chrome or a cat's eye marble, or depending on who you asked, the clean round scar of a cigarette burn on the inside of a wrist so small even my fingers could fasten around it, was a woman refilling the tender in each of us. We watched her the way we'd been told to watch our brothers, our fathers, in quiet reverence, hungry all the while.
I can hear all the words they say like rushing waters. It's cutting right through me. Sometimes my heart feels just like a canyon, and the walls are running deep. When I feel like I am down in the rapids, could you be the one to come and pull me out? It's hard enough to keep my head above the water, let alone the clouds. So I'm ready when you change. Now I'm like a floating feather, moving through uncertain weather, so don't make me wait forever.
I can feel the words like a winter storm, they spark an avalanche in me, and I keep thinking we'll be right back.
This is Samuel Amidon. I'm reading my poem, In the Congaree. I'm home. I'm not home. I'm on the road or off it, briefly. I've been out of place. I've been taking familiar walks. I like the boardwalk. I like the swamp. I feel ill at ease. I feel fine. As August ends, I'm thick and cold. As I circle above a tide of cypress knees, of webs, fallen trunks, and leaves, I gather out the mud a mossy repose, a violent mist, a green allure. I have spoken into a dead and standing pool of air, where, in its center, a spider hangs. I can hear myself moving, notes taken on paper. On my feet, I stop, and that makes a sound. I look out into what feels ancient. It doesn't seem old. My voice is spun. I'm rolling out myself, last rung by rung. I pinned my eye to the base of a loblolly pine and rose, much higher than I would suppose. I know everything already. I have to ask people questions. All of my relatives are famous. There are so many people dead. Look at these trees. They're shattered in pieces. They're tall and full. I look forward, steadily, at the moss grown high as the flood.
It's been a long year living on the run, stuck in a free fall. When will it be done? It's all a daze now, blurry vision, can't make it out. But I used to see the light up ahead on the horizon. Now it's fading till it's almost gone. And the view pulled me closer to the edge of the cliff that I was standing on. Am I still falling, or did I hit the bottom? It's hard to know how far I'll go, how far I'll go. It's been a long time since I felt those chills. When did my mind suddenly stand still? It's like I took a step off the edge so long to the cliff that I was standing on. Am I still falling, or did I hit the bottom? It's hard to know.
Big Bend National Park says no to all walls. Big Bend has been here. Shouldn't it have a say? Call the mountains a wall if you must. The river has never been a wall. Leavened air soaking equally into all. Could this be the home we ache for? Silent light bathing cliff faces, dunes altering in darkness, stones speaking low to one another, border secrets, notes so rooted you may never be lonely the same ways again. Big Bend in thinking. Why did you dream you needed so much? Water, one small pack. Once I lay on my back on a concrete table the whole day and read a book, a whole book, and it was long. The day I continue to feast on. Stones sifting a gospel of patience and dust. No one exalted beyond a perfect parched cliff. No one waiting for anything you do or don't do. Santa Elena, South Rim. Once a woman knew what everything here was named for. Hallie Stillwell, brimming with stories. Her hat still snaps in the wind. You will not find a prime minister in Big Bend, a president, or even a candidate. Beyond the lion, the javelina, the eagle lighting on its nest.
Burning low, sometimes I think I see through the forest in the dead of night flicker back at me. I've been patient, I've been waiting, never knowing if it's changing. Ooh. But a broken heart can be a reason to start brand new.
Horizon. Chuchiv, it's Mrs. Shuan. Hi, I'm Shuan from Bite Size Irish Gaelic. And today I'm bringing you a little poem about the winds. Na guiha. Na guiha. I'll read it first from start to finish, and then we'll go through it line by line. Na guiha. The winds. An hui a dhuwi bín si crua, it's quartan si grua mar huine. An hui a nes bín si teis, it's quartan si ra hílta. An hui a nair bín si cherim, it's quartan si siuk a stíha. An hui a nír bín si fíl, it's quartan si ísgi línta. Now let's go through that line by line with an English translation. An ghi a dhuwi bín si crua. The north wind is hard. An ghi a dhuwi bín si crua. Is cuirn si gruam ghuine. And it depresses people. Is quirn she gruam ghuine. An ghuines bean she tesh. The south wind is damp. An ghui enyes bean she tesh. Is quirn she ra hílta. And it makes seeds successful. Is quirn she ra hílta. An ghui an bín si cherim. The east wind is dry. An ghui an bean she cherim. Is quirn she shook is thee. And it produces frost at night. Is quirn she shook is thee. An ghuian ear bean she feel. The west wind is favourable. An ghui an ear bean she feel. It's quirn she isk I lintha. And it puts fish in nets. It's quirn she isk I lintha. Now, if you don't know any of the words in the above poem, go and look them up in the dictionary at changlin.ie or folklore.ie. If you'd like to learn more Irish like this, why not take a free trial of Bite Size Irish Gaelic at www.bitesize.irish.
In the dark with the radio spark, meet me where the most light falls. Listening to Where the Most Light Falls with DJ Tamara on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more.